The following was recorded at the St. Louis Bi-State Area Convention in 2014. The opinions expressed here on this recording are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Chris, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Chris.
I'm also anorexic and bulimic. I've been coming to OA since November 22, 2001. My current abstinence date is July 28, 2002. I used to weigh at least 437 pounds and had a 66-inch waist. Right now, as of today, March 23rd, 2014, I am 54 years old, 5 feet 10 inches tall. I weighed 168 pounds this past month, and I'm wearing pants with a 36-inch waist. I have a bunch of stuff in my pockets. I will just show you. Floss, a comb, a little pedometer, my key card for the hotel, chapstick, and a penny I got from the stations this morning. But I was missing something. I was feeling around. You know how you can tell when something's missing? You know, you're like, you just don't feel it, and I checked, and I'm like, I don't have the angel that my wife gave me for Christmas this just past year. And this just came to me. I thought, you know, it's probably in my suit pants that I wore last night. I thought, well, I already put it in the car, but am I worth walking out to the car? I've got 9 minutes, you know, I can get to the car now. You know, if I weigh 437, I'd probably think twice and say no. But I asked her why she gave me this angel, and she goes, that's so you'd always have an angel with you, and you'd know it. So what I'd like to do, as I talk today about two different topics, one is reentry that I'm going to touch on, going back to our other environment outside of here. And the other one is staying until the miracle happens. Notice, don't leave until the miracle happens is not the topic. Staying until the miracle happens. So what I'm going to do is ask that this be passed around twice, and I'd like it to come back to me each time. So once it goes around the entire room, I'll hold it up, make sure everyone's touched it. And we can all be angels for people besides our higher power. I want it to go around twice because then everyone in the room will have touched it. You can hold it for a moment, whatever you want to say over it to yourself and your higher power. Pass around, give it back to me. Then we'll pass it again because everyone will already. And then you'll carry the spirit of the people in the meeting. Where I got this idea from, I have no idea. All right. Reentry. I found it helpful when I go home to ask my family how their weekend was. Start laundry usually before I start unloading everything in all my bags, because then by the time that first load is done, I'll probably have another load. You know, my wife told me last night that I meant to get down to the laundry. I didn't get home till late. I didn't say, well, did you do it? You know, yeah. I do a lot of laundry around my house. It's service. I've been away. How can I be of service and carry what I've learned or gained in this weekend to them? Not till I can curse them like, hey, let me go next time, you know, but I don't want to go and say, what, you did nothing? And there's a sink full of dishes and where is so-and-so? Why wasn't this? Okay, fine, whatever, you know. Because then, what I've learned on this weekend, I'm not putting into action. And this is a spiritual program of action. That's my summary of reentry. Focusing on the other person and what I can offer to them, rather than what I got out of it and extolling the virtues of, hey, I connected with this person or that person. Is there anyone having difficulty hearing me? Some definitions to help me talk about the topic of staying until the miracle happens. Stay means to continue in one place. Miracle means an extraordinary event manifesting itself in divine intervention in human affairs. Happen means to occur as a result. Recovery means to bring back to health, and I'm reminded that I'm a sick person trying to get well. What does this really mean to me? If I continue in OA, an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention will occur as a result. I will gather in a harvest that is spiritual, emotional, and physical, and this action has the potential to bring me back to health. Recovery can also be defined as the absence of compulsive overeating to the point that a member loses his or her extra weight or gains an appropriate amount of weight. If I'm still overweight after a number of years, can I honestly claim abstinence? I am obviously eating more than my body needs to sustain itself. The newcomer may look at me and hear me try to paint a rosy picture of my emotional and spiritual growth, yet still sees that I'm overweight. I've heard it said that good meetings contain identification and hope. Our common bonds are two. The disease of compulsive overeating, from which we have all suffered, that's identification, and the solution that we are all finding as a way, as we live the principles embodied in these steps, that's hope. For me, the program is about growing up. And people have the potential to never stop growing up and maturing. As I get older, I'd like to grow up with love, humor, lighten up, Chris. It's often a message I think my higher power wants to get to me. Fellowship, and most importantly, a healthier body, mind, and spirit. So what about miracles? Well, to recap what I had started with on Friday night, it's a miracle to me that for the most part, I no longer do any of the following. I used to get on the scale and it was always bad news. If I gained weight, oh, just forget it. I'm going to eat. If I lost weight, hey, I'm doing good. I can eat. And worst of all, if I stayed exactly the same, what is the point? Why am I doing all this? I'm going to eat. No more shortness of breath while sitting still. No more holding the phone receiver up to my hairline so people couldn't hear me chewing while I was talking to them on the phone. No more respiratory infections that are resistant to antibiotics. No more breasts that were larger than some women's breasts. No more stinking from my poor hygiene habits. No more eating food off the ground, off other people's plates, out of the garbage. No more consuming spoiled food. I didn't set the refrigerator temperature right in the hotel here, and it froze the lettuce I brought. The lettuce went in the garbage. I don't eat translucent lettuce. And I used to, and it caused me gastric distress. I had to leave early from work one time because I thought, that's my lettuce. Do you know how much a head of lettuce costs on a bad day? Am I worth less than $5? I mean, it's probably not going to even cost that much. But I used to think that was my food and I was going to eat it. I don't have to do that. If it went bad because it froze, I just toss it. I had other vegetables. I brought them in case. Well, guess what? The case showed up. No more not fitting into my clothes, no more feeling poisoned ill and sweating most of the time, no more breaking chairs, no more scanning a room upon entering and wondering, am I the largest person here again? Those are all miracles. So why stay? OA depends on the recovery of each member. I can ask myself questions to explore where I'm at with regard to the miracle of recovery. Does it seem logical and reasonable to stay until the miracle happens? Never mind what anyone else has to say. Does it make sense to me? Yes. Does it pass the test of sportsmanship? In other words, if everyone stayed until the miracle happened, would the results be beneficial for all? Yes. I think so. Where will my plan of action lead? How will it affect others? Staying till the miracle happens may encourage someone else to keep coming back. Will I think well of myself when I look back at what I've done? Yes, my time in OA is time well spent. I sure didn't think well of myself after every binge. If I pretend for one moment that deciding whether to stay or not is the problem of the person I most admire, asking myself how that person would handle it, does the next right thing become clear to me? Yes. Am I working with a sponsor? Yes. Am I around the program or in the program? Hopefully I'm in the program, not just around the program. Am I at a healthy body weight? Yes, I am in the range of a healthy weight for me, I am told. It says in our invitation to you that we offer a proven workable method. If this proven method is not evident in a healthy body size, it's an empty and cruel invitation. If I am not living proof of the recovery I purport to have, all I'm offering is words. Not everyone in our rooms is going to be an ideal size. I'm not. Not ideal. Just in the middle somewhere. You know, when I first came to OA, I basically thought anyone who was in recovery, who may have looked like me, I thought, well, you know, one of two things. A, they're lying, or B, they're telling the truth, but it will never happen for me. That was my take. I try to remember to share what recovery I do have because it's part of the solution OA offers. My responsibility in OA meetings is to share my recovery based on the OA solution. Regardless of my personal path, it's important to acknowledge that reaching a healthy weight is only one factor in recovery. It's only one. I didn't just stop overeating. I did that plenty of times, on diets, and also when I would starve myself. Because I am anorexic and bulimic as well, as I shared. OA gives me a spiritually based program for living one day at a time. I'm given that daily reprieve from this disease that's contingent on my remaining in fit spiritual condition. Sometimes my spiritual muscles are rather flaccid. They just kind of hang there. I have faith that if I work the program, it will continue to work for me. But I cannot give away what I do not have. Big Book, page 164. How can I show that the program works if it's not working in my life? My son, one time, was observing me weighing my food. The amount went a little over. I took a little bit off. He asked, "Does that really make a difference?" And I said, "It does to me." I find that if I pay attention to the small scale, the large scale just takes care of itself. I cannot work the steps bloated with excess food. It's not okay for me to... Well, let me put it this way. I can work the steps, but I can't work them effectively. And that's different. Like at work, and I shared my stress level and everything. I can keep working after a certain point, but I cannot any longer work effectively like at 7 p.m. at night when I've logged on at 7 a.m. It just doesn't work. How could I say, when I was relapsing, how could I say I was recovering spiritually when I was still using food as my higher power? The food was killing me. How could I say I was recovering emotionally when I was using food to numb my feelings? I was an amateur anesthesiologist. I used food to make myself feel better, and the way I felt better was by feeling nothing. That was a lie for me, a lie the disease wanted me to believe. When I'm honest, open-minded, and willing, my recovery will progress on all three levels. I pray to God for strong meetings that stress threefold recovery. When I use the tools, they can help me lighten up while staying until the miracle happens. They're easier to use if I continue to stay in OA as the miracle is happening. I write down my food plan. I wrote down what I wanted to share today. I read from literature. I call my sponsor and other members most days. I call my sponsor right before I left for the first session out of my room. I said, quick check-in. I'm abstinent, and I'm heading home from St. Louis is the plan today. That's it. Bye. That's all I needed to say. So now I can tell you, I already called my sponsor. I go to an average of between 2 and 3 meetings a week. I give service. I try to practice anonymity. I don't believe I have mentioned or discussed any other member by name this weekend. I have defects, and they prevent me from using all these tools all the time. I am doing what I can. AA 12 and 12, page 66, step 6. No matter how far we've progressed, desires will always be found which oppose the grace of God. And remember that grace is the unmerited love and affection of God. I share about my struggles and I try to remain open about my failures and my successes. I listen to others. Listening to newcomers reminds me where I came from. Listening to long-timers talk about recovery gives me the hope I need to keep going. I try to use I statements. And please remember, most people aren't used to being listened to. And when there's a pause, sometimes on the phone, someone will often ask, "Are you still there? I thought the line, you know, I thought the call might have dropped." No, I'm listening. And I wasn't asked for a response, so I'm still listening. It's okay to pause every now and then. When agitated or doubtful, we pause. Anybody here a phenomenal pauser? Not me. I'm still learning. I try to be aware of the time during meetings so others have an opportunity to share. I've been oversharing way too much this weekend. Too much talking. What are a few reasons members do not stay? Personality conflicts. Lack of personal attention for those in the meetings. Lack of willingness to make service commitments. Lack of emphasis on physical recovery in meeting rooms, and lack of work on the steps. What can I do to share about the miracle of recovery? I can keep working on my relationship with God. I can emphasize a commitment to abstinence. Members are becoming and staying abstinent. Emphasize that abstinence, that God-given gift, is the most important thing in my life without exception. It's not the only thing. It's just I need to start somewhere. And if I start with overeating, and then I say, well, my relationship with my... I don't have a relationship with my higher power worth having when I'm high on food. I just don't think clearly. Maybe other people here do, and that is great. I say nothing against that. Where's the angel now? Oh, great. I can give service. Among the best forms of service I give, and we heard this in the previous session, is remaining abstinent and continuing to come back. I can be a contact person. I can update the phone list for a meeting, set up for meetings, clean up after meetings, volunteer. I can call members who haven't attended meetings in a while to tell them they are missed. A simple call expressing concern, love, or care can make all the difference in the world, and members have told me this. I'm not calling them to make them come back or to be some kind of hero. I'm calling them because I want to abstain and recover from a deadly, killing, fatal disease called compulsive overeating. I can email members. I can greet everyone warmly, encouraging others to welcome members they've never seen before. I can introduce members to one another. At one meeting I attend, members put their names and phone numbers in a basket on a little piece of paper, and each person draws one name to call during the week. I can list all local meetings in the local newspapers, libraries, grocery stores, other public places. Speaking of public places, I can leave a copy of Lifeline at the office of my dentist or doctor, the place where I get my hair cut, or I can donate a subscription to any one of these places of business, or another person who's open to receiving it, whether they're in OA or not. I can offer rides or transportation to those in need. Newcomers. What about newcomers? We may not all be old-timers. I'm not, but at some point we have all been newcomers. Anyone here who has a year, a month, a decade of abstinence all started with one day. No one started abstaining the day they were born. They had to cultivate and develop this disease. So anybody who's sitting here and say, well, I only have this weekend. I only had 2 days. I only have this morning because I ate something yesterday. Well, you know what? I started at the same point. And anyone here did too. I can let newcomers know that each group is different and encourage them to attend other meetings in the area until they find one at which they feel comfortable, just like we did. Our attendance at OA meetings is paramount to recovery and the group's strength. I can make follow-up phone calls to newcomers, give them a phone list. I can make sure, one thing I do when a newcomer comes to our meeting and I am giving out a phone list, I will circle the names of everyone who is in attendance at the meeting and put the date of the meeting on the list. If they keep that list, there'll be no guessing as to when they first came to OA. Because I don't know, it was a Saturday sometime in February of 1968 or something, you know. I mean, then they'll know. And they'll know who was at their meeting. Like, I remember this one lady, and to me, that was just, again, something I thought of. These are people you can call who are actually at the meeting. The likelihood of someone calling is very small, but they might be more likely rather than reaching out and not knowing. Okay, so I've got the angel back. Everyone has touched it. Now, the first people who touched it don't have the benefit of the spirit of all the people over here. So now when I get it again, we'll know that everyone has had it. Did anyone not get it? Awesome. Okay, awesome. So I'm going to give it to you two first. And then if the lady in the white top could bring it back to the front, that would be great. So could you pass this back, and then we'll send it all the way around again. Does that make sense? Okay. Okay. So the lady in the purple in the fourth row, and then the lady in white. Okay. So let's see. I can help members find a sponsor. I can encourage newcomers at their first meeting to find a sponsor. God bless you. And put down the food. I can suggest introducing potential sponsors at every meeting. What service can even a relative newcomer perform? One way to give service is to move toward a healthy body weight and live the 12-step message of recovery from compulsive overeating. That is our gift from OA and to OA. I believe God wants us to be happy right here on earth, and even points the way. Sometimes, however, I refuse to look where he is pointing. Do you know where he pointed just before I came here and I was on my way to get the angel? To a housekeeping worker. And someone in this fellowship said, "Hey, how you doing today?" And this woman said, "Super duper." And the other person said, "You're always doing super duper." And she goes, "Yeah, well, you know, life is short." And I thought, gosh, I want to be doing super duper. Why don't I just say I'm doing super duper? So to myself, I said, you know, if someone asks me, "Chris, doing okay? How's it going?" I'm super duper. Lighten up, kiddo, you know? I just love that. When I was in relapse waiting to get abstinent, I did get myself to meetings. I didn't go then as often then as I do now, but no matter how far into the food I got, no matter how much weight I was gaining, no matter how crazy I felt, I kept coming back. I'm not alone. Other members have suffered the agony of relapse, and they're back in recovery. One woman, I didn't know she had been in the program almost 40 years ago, and then when I first got abstinence, because I was abstinent many times, and it just, I wasn't lasting, because I was not willing. Probably was not open, but I was willing. But when I started attending this one meeting, she would be there, I'd make outreach calls to her, and now she's been in recovery for over 10 years. But I had no idea until I heard her story that she had been away from the rooms about 30 years. She had lost her weight. And then, you know, it was like 1975 to 1979. And then she's like, "Okay, I got this." And then did not come back until like 2002. What's up with that? Powerful disease, I think. What I found very helpful was to go to meetings and tell it like it is. "I want to know that you struggle sometimes and experience life's ups and downs. It lets me know that we're both human. And then when I experience one of life's downs, it doesn't mean I'm not working my program or that I'm a bad person, but I also need to hear what you are doing about it. Today, when other OA members are hurting, it's up to me to reach out and tell them I love them and care about them. I've gone up to someone and said, 'I can't stand to watch you in this pain because I care about you. What can I do?' I statements. Relapse is one of the primary reasons some of us might be tempted to discontinue our recovery in OA. When I relapsed, I experienced the same feelings I had when I first came to an OA meeting. Shame, embarrassment, failure, depression, isolation, frustration, demoralization, and hopelessness." It kind of sounds like the Charlie Brown teacher after a while. Wah, 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 wah. Yeah. "But I kept the lines of communication open by staying in OA. I've noticed that many of those who stopped attending meetings relapsed. If someone in the group relapses, I can keep in touch and encourage that member not to retreat into isolation. our Members in Relapse pamphlet has one phrase that to me is worth the whole pamphlet itself. What do we do with members who are in relapse? We love them, and we don't throw them away. I used to throw people away all the time. If they were no good to me, if they couldn't do anything, I'd throw them away. I can't afford that now. I can ask them how things, how others are doing, let them know that I care and that their participation in the group is valued. There's one thing I'd really like to leave. Maybe I don't want to say it, but I feel compelled to say it, and I'm a compulsive person, is I think a lot of us, I'm not the only one, would like to make a difference while we're here. We'd like to feel that our presence has meant something, that it would have been different had we not shown up, either for this weekend or just for our life in general. Certainly many of us either have children or relatives whose life path would have been altered by our lack of being here. It's a Wonderful Life is based on that concept. Of course, we may not agree with that movie because almost everything without him kind of went bad, you know, and that's not true. Maybe some things would be better, but we're a mixture, aren't we? I'm not going to stand up here and lie to you and say everything we've done is phenomenal and awesome, but we have made a contribution that no one else could make. When I did return after my relapse, I was welcomed warmly, supported and encouraged. I did not feel judged. I did enough judging of myself. Everyone is good enough to be in OA, no matter what. So I try not to judge another's recovery. Each person's way of working the program is unique, just like each of us. I needed to be reminded that there's many paths to recovery, and that miracle of recovery. I'm learning that relapse is not contagious, but recovery is. I already have the disease. I don't have to worry about catching it from anyone here. We all need to be loved and accepted, not because we're abstinent, not because we're at goal weight, but just for who we are. This is especially true of OA members who are still suffering. Some members have been in the program for some time, but either they've not yet attained abstinence or they're in relapse. I've gone through some painful experiences since coming to OA. My wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. Reflecting on the anniversary of my 14-year-old son's death, his birthday, my mother's death, deaths of other people I care about, negative comments from others, dealing with my defects. Even when I was compulsively overeating, even when I was falling apart emotionally, I used to go to meetings and just cry. Even when I felt hopeless and unlovable, being loved and accepted was key to my being open to loving and accepting myself, and from there, accepting abstinence for the gift that it is. I used to think, say anything you want, just don't be nice to me. I can't handle it. That is a defect I have that continues to pop up. I can have a hard time accepting kind words, thanks, or gifts. I am working on it. My higher powers messengers in OA have gently, lovingly reminded me to take the steps, to use the tools, and to keep coming back. We all have our own idea what our higher powers messengers should look like, but the messenger isn't important. The message is. I thank all of you who have smiled at this convention. I choose to believe you've been messengers and angels to me. I've had to work my recovery as hard as I work my compulsion. When I take whatever steps my higher power has guided me to take, miracles start to happen. This disease of compulsive overeating is kind of like the Energizer Bunny. It just keeps going and going and going. In response, I need to keep coming back, keep coming back, and keep coming back. I choose to stay because there's so much to learn, especially when I want to quit because I'm afraid of change and afraid of pain. It's not easy. Repetition is nature's only form of permanence. Our For Today book. So I continue to come back. That's why I stay. To enjoy the subtle, slow miracle that is recovery. Every day I'm abstinent is a miracle. The OA program contains practically everything of any value I've ever read or heard in the self-help arena. And it's available to me if I just keep coming back. God saw fit to lead me to OA. I'm glad he did. Overall, I believe I'm a better person because of it. I'm reminded that meeting makers make it, and big books that are falling apart usually belong to people who aren't. The golden rule can come in handy. When I treat others the way I want to be treated, I am living the program. A smile, a hug, a phone call, a hand extended can make a difference in my own well-being and that of my fellow members, keeping all of us coming back to an atmosphere of love, acceptance, and support. It's long-timers and newcomers. It's short people and tall people. It's big people and small people who are loving me into the miracle of abstinence and the miracle of this fellowship. I made a pact with some other OA members that if I began to slip away, they had permission to make contact with me to encourage me to keep coming back. It's an OA insurance policy to protect me if I again lose my sanity to this disease. Anyone who wants it, there's a copy of it at OA.org. You just need to search around. It's in the documents. I'm convinced that I'm going to die with this disease, but for today, I don't want to die of it. I can still have bad feelings sometimes. By the grace of God, as disturbing as these feelings are, they don't need to be acted on. Again, quoting from Before You Take This First Compulsive Bite, remember, it's a miracle to me that I can reap the enjoyment of abstinence from compulsive overeating. I'm reminded how good it is to be relatively free of guilt, remorse, and self-condemnation. How good it is to be relatively free of fear of the consequences of a binge just ended or a coming binge I've never been able to prevent before. How good it is to be relatively free of the fear of what people have been thinking and whispering about me, fear of their mingled contempt and pity. I can harvest gratitude as I stay until the miracle happens. Gratitude that so much can be mine for so small a price. Gratitude that I can trade just one bite for all the happiness abstinence from compulsive overeating gives me. If I abstain from just that first bite, I don't have to worry about all those other ones. Gratitude that I'm only a person with an illness called compulsive overeating, that I'm not weak-willed or a person of doubtful willpower, reasoning power. Gratitude that, as others before me have discovered, in time we will not want or miss the excess food. For me, that was an amazing miracle that I don't even think about these things. From the Maintaining a Healthy Weight pamphlet, I stay in OA to remind myself I'm not alone and I still have an eating disorder, no matter what the labels on my clothes say. I try to stay connected. More importantly, I follow the steps and endeavor to practice these principles in all my affairs, all day, every day, to my ability. I do what I can. Sometimes it's not my best. That's what I can do. I turn my food, my will, and my life over to my higher power. I prayed that again today. I make my best effort to be kind, and when I'm not, I often apologize promptly and I let things go. On many levels, my former lack of willingness to do all these things I've mentioned kept me overeating. Just as anything I value needs regular upkeep, I try to take care of my body, mind, and spirit at the repair shop that is Overeaters Anonymous. I used to believe I can't do it, I'm different. When I take the time to try, choosing instead a life of abstinence and living the steps, I stopped being the one to whom the program just wouldn't work and started becoming one of the many for whom it does work, every day, one day at a time. Voices of Recovery, February 23rd. The more I do, the more I get back. As I began, to the very best of my ability to practice principles in all my affairs, miracles of healing began to happen. I became eager to try everything my sponsor in the big book suggested. Abstinence became easier, and I became hungry for a principle-based life. The miracles keep happening. It really does work when I work it. Our way of life, based on these 12 steps and 12 traditions, has brought us physical, emotional, and spiritual healing that we don't hesitate to call miraculous. Now, how am I doing on time? Now, I have a song. It's a little sing-along. I had it originally here, but I was going to put it at the end. I'm going to take a quick group conscience because I have more than I've prepared. I would like to get through that and maybe do the song at the end, but if you want to do the song now, we could do that. How many people would like to do the song now? How many would like to wait until I've done all this other talking? It seems like there's a few more for that, so let me go, and then we'll come back. How can I apply some of the steps to this topic? OA 12 and 12, page 23, step 3. Much of the time we no longer want to eat wisely, and we come to prefer foods that are good for us. This miracle of sanity is an everyday reality for thousands of recovering compulsive overeaters. I have this miraculous freedom most days, but occasionally the obsession returns. I then turn away from food and eating to focus my attention on OA and the 12 steps. The OA 12 and 12 on page 51 in step 5 says, I need a continued involvement with the 12 steps in OA for continued abstinence and recovery. Stay until the miracle happens. OA 12 and 12, 61 to 62, step 7, I recognize my release from any defect as a miracle, evidence of the power of God's healing love, and I am honestly grateful. OA 12 and 12, page 63, still step 7. Can I now expect to miraculously become a perfect being? No. As I continue with the steps, I'm discovering defects I didn't see during the housekeeping and house cleaning I undertook in steps 4 through 7. I don't have to be shocked and horrified when I realize that I have yet another defect. There are many things about me which I need to change, only some of which I'm able to see at any given time. God bless you. At least one tradition refers to this program as a miracle. OA 12 and 12, page 201, tradition 12. In OA, we're all on equal footing, reduced to helplessness by our compulsive eating and freed to recover by this miraculous program. Money, intelligence, and status made no difference in our becoming compulsive overeaters, and they make no difference in our chances for recovery. I often choose not to spend time on things that deplete me, but I often choose to go to meeting. Living Sober, I don't have the copy, but I usually carry it with me, is an AA book, which is OA approved. If you go to the OA approved list at OA.org. Page 81, do I have to go to those meetings for the rest of my life? Not at all, unless I want to. Thousands of us seem to enjoy meetings more and more as the abstinent years go by. So it's a pleasure, not a duty. We all have to keep on eating, bathing, breathing, brushing our teeth, and the like. And millions of people continue year after year working, reading, going in for sports and other recreation, frequenting so-called social clubs, and performing religious worship. So our continued attendance at OA meetings is hardly peculiar as long as we enjoy them, profit from them, and keep the rest of our lives in balance. I need to be as diligent in attending OA meetings as I was when I was overeating. What serious compulsive overeater ever let distance or weather, illness, business, or guests, or being broke, or the hour, or anything else keep him or her from that really wanted bite? It's a miracle of the big book that the following quotes come from pages 25 through 89. But although they are spread out over more than 60 pages, they seem to weave together the importance of miracles to this program. These are all big book. Page 25, the central fact of our lives is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could never do by ourselves. Page 50, this power has in each case accomplished the miraculous, the humanly impossible. Page 55. For faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives are facts as old as man himself. 57. What is this but a miracle of healing? Notice it doesn't say cure. I could gouge out my skin and it could heal, but I'd have a scar. Because it did that to myself, and it's a reminder. When I get out of a shower and I look in the mirror, it's a reminder. I am healed. I'm healing still. But I'm not cured. Page 85. We will see that our new attitude toward food has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. Page 89. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. If I stay in OA, I am guaranteed not to miss it. One of the reasons I'm abstinent now is that I stayed until the miracle began to happen for me. Voices of Recovery, June 16th. And I'm going to finish with that after the song. So I will say just it's only like 5 print lines after the song. So I'd like you to join me in a rendition of the 1964 pop song, Downtown, which turns 50 years old in October of this year. However, instead of singing the word downtown, please sing OA with me each time the word downtown would have been sung. Roll now. When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go to OA. When you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry seem to go away in OA. Just listen to the music of the sharing in the meetings. Linger on the sidewalk and take part in all the greetings. How can you lose? The lights are much brighter there. You can forget all your troubles, forget all your cares, and go to OA. Things will be great when you're in OA. No finer place for sure. OA, everything's waiting for you. OA. Just wait. Let me see, where are we? Don't hang around. Okay, these are different words, so I don't want to screw anyone up. So just, if you could join me on the OA, because I don't want to mess anybody else up. Don't hang around and let your problems surround you. There's a place to go.
OA.
Maybe you know some virtual meetings to go to where they never close in.
OA.
Just listen to the rhythm of a gentle member sharing. You'll be laughing with them too. Lighten up and realize you're caring, happy again. With 12 steps, the lights are much brighter there. You can face all your troubles and face all your cares and go to OA, where all the lights are bright.
OA,
waiting for you tonight.
OA,
you're gonna be alright now. And you may find somebody kind to help and understand you. Someone who is just like you and needs a gentle hand to guide them along. A sponsor, a sponsor. So maybe I'll see you there. You can face all your troubles and face all your cares and go to OA. Things will be great when you're in OA. Don't wait a minute more.
OA,
everything's waiting for you. Voices of Recovery, June 16th. Don't leave until the miracle happens. The miracle of recovery from compulsive overeating. It happens. Please stay. May the sunlight of the Spirit shine brightly, yet gently, upon you all. Thank you for letting me share.